This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
I'm gonna marry the night. I won't give up on my life. I'm a warrior queen, live passionately tonight. Not waxing my legs, or shaving my pits, or bleaching my lip, 'cause I don't give a shit.
You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and to pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present, and future. Welcome to Broad here on Joy 94.9.
Wow. Welcome, everybody, to Broad. We've got a pretty full house in here tonight, don't we, Sonia?
It's cooking.
It is definitely cooking. It's cooking. Too warm.
It's warm for us. And this is, I guess, the thing. It's a bit of a dichotomy. Is that the word?
Maybe.
A bit of a paradox, because here we are nice and cozy and warm, and tonight we are speaking about something that is definitely a cold experience for many women out there. So we're looking and addressing homelessness and what we can do about it. Some of the people that are already taking action and doing things about it in Victoria and parts of Australia as well, here in Melbourne, and also looking at, yes, the future and just what the situation is for women who are homeless and homeless in general.
It's true. And doing it rough on the streets at the moment. We just had our coldest day in 20 years, apparently, in Melbourne.
What was the temperature? I couldn't even tell you.
I know it snowed. It's almost snowing out in Bacchus Marsh. I know that it's been snowing along the, I want to say the Great Ocean Road area. There have been snow in those areas as well, which is, you know, but global warming isn't a thing.
Global cooling.
Yeah, definitely maybe. Global cooling. But yeah, pretty cool show tonight.
What was that song? Matt Corby. Don't know him.
It's Matt Corby. Pretty big-ish hit. I don't know. I think he's an Aussie artist, and that's Brother. It's sort of just about reaching out to your neighbours and making sure you do take care of those around you as well, which I thought was a very important message for tonight's show.
Yeah. Let's introduce. We have got a full panel of awesome women here tonight.
Amazing broads.
Yeah. I want to welcome, first time actually, I believe, on Joy 94.9, Amber Magna. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great. And you're part of Feel Good Food Packs.
Yes, that's cool. Right.
So we'll be talking to you about what that means. We've got Yvonne. She's back. Yvonne Hong.
Hello.
Pets of the Homeless.
Yes.
Is Pets of the Homeless Australia or Melbourne? Both?
I've named it Pets of the Homeless Australia, and it's set up to go national, but at the moment we're still in Victoria only.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And
of course, she returns.
Donna Zan.
Thanks for having me back.
For the Melbourne Period Project. It's great to have you in.
Thank you.
Because we will sort of veer the discussion into the more serious things and issues that are happening. But of course, first up, we cannot go past the broad news here on Joy 94.9.
Tis the broadcast it news. Is. Count it me is. In.
All right, get ready. Get your headphones on, Lauren. Here it is.
From Australia and around the globe, this is the broadcast news. Welcome to the broadcast news. This is Lauren Stardust. Outrage over the light sentencing of American rapist Brock Turner appears to be all for naught, with another now ex-college student receiving a slap on the wrist when initially being charged with rape. John Enox will serve 1 year of probation, even though his DNA was found to match that on the victim. On April 2015, authorities were told she had been held down by an attacker as she repeatedly told him to stop. She suffered a laceration to her genitals. Pardon me, sorry, it's hard to read. A second charge from another alleged victim of Enox in 2013 were also brought forth with eyewitness accounts to match up the testimony. The precedent set by the Brock Turner case has thus far protected rapists on college campuses, placing the onus on alcohol rather than perpetrators of assault, so long as they are rich and white. Montreal-based Professor Homa Hutfar has been detained in Iran after accusations concerning her involvement in feminism. Hutfar, 65, is an anthropology professor from the Concordia University who is known for her research on women, feminism and family in Muslim societies. She departed to Iran in February to visit family and conduct research. Iranian media outlets have reported her arrest was due to Hutfar being a founder of a group, Women Living Under Muslim Law, a group they report aims to desanctify Islamic laws and propagate feminism. Hutfar's niece, Amanda Gahiramani, has come forward to express that this is the view of conservative groups trying to make conspiracy where none exists. Her family and lawyer are yet to receive communication with Hutfar. Actor, model and activist Jesse Williams has given a most powerful speech when honoured with the Humanitarian Award at this year's Black Entertainment Television Awards. In his own words, "Now, this is also in particular for the black women, in particular they who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves. We can and we will do better for you. Now, what we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we're going to have equal rights and justice in our country, or we will restructure their function and ours." Williams is best known for his role as Dr. Jackson on Grey's Anatomy, but recent projects include the Black Lives Matter documentary Stay Woke, which premiered in May. Williams also attended the 2014 protests in Ferguson, Missouri, to protest the shooting of Michael Brown. Now, in Kansas, a teenager has been fired from her summer job after challenging her employees upon the discovery she was earning less than a male colleague who was the same age, hired at the same time for the same position. Jensen Wilcott, 17, called her now ex-employer to dispute the matter, only to be told it was against store policy to discuss wages with co-workers. It has since been revealed that the discussion of wages is completely appropriate given the circumstances, with attorney David White of the National Labor Relations Board speculating, at face value it appears that the young lady was terminated because she complained about unequal wages. That's illegal. It's probably what happened, and because they're teenagers, they didn't think they'd complain. Whatever steps Jensen decides to take from here, it's awesome to see young women aware of such inequalities, and we at Broad hate that you still have to fight for such a basic fucking right.
Hear, hear.
And that is the Broad news.
Well, that's great. There's a lot of overseas stuff happening.
It is a lot of overseas stuff happening at the moment. You know, it's especially in light of, well, the Brock Turner case and what's
been
happening.
A big one.
It has been big, and it just very frustrating to see that all of the yelling and shouting seems to do nothing. I mean, from where we stand anyway.
Mm.
Let's hope that improves in the future.
Yep. Well, I think all these things eventually do impact people, influence people, and we'll see maybe in a few years' time.
Yeah,
change, hopefully.
I think the best thing you can do is, I know we all get the feminist fatigue, but just keep fighting the good fight, and it does get through eventually. It's just a lot of energy spent on making change.
That is true. All right, speaking of change, we'll be chatting very shortly to some women that are making a difference and helping those who are finding themselves in trouble out there and homeless, particularly women. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Marg Downey. Keep Joy out loud and proud. Support Joy. Become a member now. 1-300-JOY-949.
Shannon from the Girl Readers, what does feminism mean to you?
Feminism to me is everybody, regardless of gender, sex, becoming equal and being considered an equal human and being able to reach their full potential and live their life without the scourge of oppression. Yeah, that's what it means to me.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to message us if you would like to. You can still join and be part of our radiophon as well. It's easy to do. Just, onair@joy.org.au to email us. You can SMS 0427 JOY 949. Or you can go to our Twitter.
The Twitter, which is at BroadFem949. No. Okay, it's what I'm here for.
So send us through a message what you would like to maybe ask a question in the next half of the show. Let's see what happens. But first, we're going to speak to Amber Magna about something called Feel Good Food Packs. So she's in the studio here to tell us all about that. What is Feel Good Food Packs?
Well, I put together packs of nutritious food and distribute them to people experiencing homelessness. So the idea is that it's food that makes you feel good. It's really nutritious, keeps you full. We work a lot with people sleeping rough, so sleeping on the streets. So it's important that it sustains them.
Mm. I see that. You've got Sean Thornton. I have to include him because he's becoming a star in the last few weeks, isn't he? Sean Thornton, from the founder and CEO of something called Anonymous X. Brilliant. So he recommends you. That's a pretty good thing.
Yep. So I actually, before I started Feel Good Food Packs, really wanted to get a feel for what was needed on the street. So I contacted Sean and started volunteering for him, and he kind of took me under his wing and helped me figure out how to get started. And so he's played a really big part in Feel Good Food Packs so far.
So what has driven you to, I mean, this is, it's not something that everybody, a young person of your age and so on, I presume you're young, I'm just guessing, but it's not something that everyone does on a Friday night, is it?
No, I guess not. No.
Yeah, what's your drive?
I have studied nutrition for a few years. I'm really passionate about making healthy food accessible to as many people as possible. And for me, that started as giving people information about how to eat well. But I kind of realized that for some people, they need the actual food as well.
Yeah.
So I immediately thought of people on the streets, and I thought, how can I make food accessible to them? And we have so many amazing businesses in the health and well-being world, and I just kind of reached out to them and got them involved, and they were all really happy to help. So
that's excellent.
Yeah, I was gonna say, often eating healthy is not the cheapest of options. Like the healthier eat I find, the more expensive it becomes. Sure. on my budget even as well. So just having the forethought of putting these packs together is fantastic.
Yeah.
How can people get involved? Are you looking to recruit more people to help with Feel Good Food Packs?
For sure. We're always looking for volunteers, always looking for people who are passionate about healthy eating and homelessness. We actually put together a recipe ebook with lots of famous faces in the health and wellbeing world. So it's a way for people to cook healthy recipes but also help us out at the same time. So you can get that at our website. 100% of the profits go back into the packs.
Oh, cool. So where can people look that up to?
On Facebook at Feel Good Food Packs or feelgoodfoodpacks.com.
Excellent. Yeah, and look, it is, it's something that you think, gosh, it must be so cold out there for people, and just the chances of having a hot meal, they probably have to wait, and there's probably a process for that. So when that doesn't happen, they need something with protein.
For sure. And we've had people say that it helps them get through times where they can't access a hot meal.
Yep.
So all of the food can be put in pockets and bags and things like that. That was really important for me to make sure of. So, yeah, it's hopefully getting them through some times without food.
Is there any sort of move for Feel Good Food Packs to look into sort of pairing it with supermarkets? Because often there's a huge amount of supermarket wastage, and I'm not sure what the sort of legalities of the wastage is at the moment. I know that France has recently outlawed any sort of food wastage has to go through to
They have a system that's over 200 years old that Napoleon Bonaparte the first put through, and it's the gleaning law that they have. It's part of the Sont or 100 laws they have, and it's basically any farmer or orchardist or vintner or vineyard has to allow poor people onto their property during harvest, after the harvest, to collect and glean all the waste food, so they can take fruit that's fallen off the trees and things like that. That's been around for over 200 years.
I didn't realize that was with farmers, but I did hear about the supermarket thing. And
so
I
they have. You see, they already have
the
that
culture,
tradition in their culture of charity. They don't call it charity. It just is. And it's positive that they're moving to the metropolitan, they're moving the same idea to metropolitan areas. We need that here.
Fun fact. Yeah, and I was going to say,
is there anything like that here yet? Do we not?
I'm not sure.
I don't know with farming. No.
I think it's all a bit far away. It'd be hard to find
it. We've got, out, you know.
We've got food bank that works with the supermarkets to supply, like food bank can take the food and supply it to organisations that are looking after people experiencing homelessness and those in, you know, sort of people in need. So organisations who are, like registered organisations, can sign up with Food Bank and have some food from them delivered that they can then distribute through their organisations.
So it's called just Food Bank?
Yeah, it's Food Bank.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's easy another to remember. Well. Food Bank. I'll put that up on the broad Facebook page as well. Twitter, I think.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those big frustrations I've noticed with is food wastage and that our government doesn't assist with it. It's and it's something that just doesn't need to happen. But food for thought. Maybe, Amber.
Cliche.
Yeah, sure.
I know.
I think that Second Bite is another organisation that works specifically with food wastage, as far as I'm aware. So they're another one to look into.
Second Bite. Sounds good.
And Oz Harvest.
Oh,
Oz
wow.
So there are quite a few. Yeah.
Definitely being.
You're writing all these down. I'm writing.
You see what happens when you shake the tree?
I know, I can't help it.
It's not. It's all the fruit that can't. That is beard born.
Bad. Born,
birthed, I don't know.
Born.
Because, of course, women are always associated with, you know, nurturing, you know, series, harvesting, you know, I mean, you know, because it's about fertility and cycles, isn't it? I'm guessing.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we're the feeders. Yeah, we're the nurturers.
That's right.
Not necessarily. And the breeders. Sometimes we need other women to take care of us, and this is where you are coming in, Amber.
Yeah, thank you. So if you have a message for Amber or you know of anything regarding food and how we can distribute it, free food for people who need it the most, our homeless. Although I hate saying our homeless too. It sounds really patronising. I don't know. Do we say
so
our
people
homeless?
Experiencing homelessness, because it's an experience. It doesn't define them.
Yes.
So even though sometimes it can sort of seem a bit long to say, but we, you know, it's always people first. So it's people, and the experience that they're going through is homelessness. So
okay, that sounds better.
Know, and that's something that we sort of see as something that's happening to them, but it isn't them. They're not, you know, they're not defined by it. It's just the experience that's happening to them at the moment.
The language around it has always been so important. So thank you so much, Jonna, for coming for clarifying that one for us. Yeah. If we change our language, then we change our attitude.
Yeah, true. And then, of course, it's about connecting, obviously, finding out
exactly
what we can do. So that's great. Thank you, Amber. We'll put those up shortly, those links to all those things. I'm really curious about Second Bite. You know, because I like vampire movies, so...
Sci-fi and Scream, Tuesday nights. I was going to say, so if you have any questions for us, do send us an SMS on 0427JOY, J-O-Y, 949, or you can email us on air@joy.org.au. Just before we do head off to the break as well, I was going to say, we do have a little bit of news from Wire. Now, Wire is currently doing its 2016 Winter Appeal, which provides, I want to say, clothing, blankets and whatnot to people experiencing homelessness, especially women experiencing homelessness. So if you would like more information about that, you can call you can visit them, on www.wire.org.au, or you can email them on info@wire.org.au. We'll probably repeat that a little bit later in the show, but you'll see it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, because WIRE stands for, of course, Women's Information Referral Exchange, which is really clever.
And we had them in about 2 weeks ago.
And we had Julian. She was
super awesome.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. And lots of information there. They do a great job, female and woman specific. So this is their big appeal for the year. They're spending their whole year as homelessness targeting women who are experiencing it. So good
Fantastic.
On them.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Yay. This is, I was going to say sci-fi and school.
Wrong night. It's broad. It's broad.
It's broad here on Joy 94.9. So what does feminism mean to you, Karen Horsfield?
To me, feminism is about fighting an oppression. You know, I think we should call a spade a spade. I think that women in society are oppressed. They are an oppressed group. And they face pressure both covertly and indeed overtly to fit into certain boxes and to just kind of tolerate certain aspects of society which work directly against them. And feminism is about being something larger and stronger than yourself.
Outraged, organized.
Broad.
On Joy 94.9.
This is the echo of Broad. Broad on here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget, message us 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. And you can ring as well, 1300 Joy 949, and let us know if you have any ideas yourself about homelessness, about any organisations that we haven't crossed yet. There might be a few out there. There's probably millions, actually. Maybe not millions, maybe dozens. Mm-hmm. Dozens of millions sounds a lot.
There's quite a few.
But here is one that I've been almost dying to have her on again. Although this is the first time on Broad.
Yes.
But many moons ago, well, one moon.
One moon, yes, one moon.
A year ago, you were on The Second Breakfast.
That's right.
Yvonne Hong, welcome to Broad.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back at Joy.
And Lauren's a dog fur
I am,
friend.
I'm a bit of a fur friend, and I love pets, but unfortunately, because of renting and share housing, mm-hmm. a lot of places don't allow pets. Can you explain, Yvonne, why that is a problem?
I don't know.
I can't explain it.
How it relates to pets for the homeless.
Well, the issue with renting with pets is because, again, damages, landlord don't want to take on the responsibility and liability. That's why they don't allow it. Mm. And because of that, a lot of people are actually homeless, not necessarily homeless in the sense that they can't afford to get a home. They're homeless because they can't get a home due to the fact that no one wants to give them a home because they have a pet.
Hmm. Seems kind of odd, doesn't it? It's happening in a few different states now that landlords have to allow you to have pets, or if you have a pet, they have to sort of give you the benefit of the doubt. Because, I mean, if you're putting
there's a lot of them that will say no pets, but if you actually apply and if you actually give them a referral from a dog trainer, for example, the dog has been in classes and well-trained, they would actually allow you to have a pet at home. Most of them.
They just make you jump through hoops to...
That's right. Of course.
Or dog jumping through hoops. Terrible. I'm sorry. I'll stop. But yeah, tell us a little bit more about Pets of the Homeless.
So Pets of the Homeless, we provide food and veterinary care to companion animals of people who are either experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness. So while the name says homeless, if you're not homeless, I will still help you if you need my help.
Okay.
Yep. So if you're not homeless, I would still help you.
Mm-hmm. And now, of course, it's been an amazing year for you. What an incredible, you've gone from pretty much this chick I almost fell over on the street outside on Burke Street, I think it was. No, it wasn't Elizabeth Street.
Yes.
And I almost stepped on you. Which would have been terrible, actually, while you were feeding and caring for a homeless person's pet. It was a dog, I believe.
Yes, so that was the first time I was actually out on the street, and that was the first person I actually helped that day, and Sonia met me on the street.
Mm. Wow.
That was a year ago, and we have grown heaps since then, from being just on the streets providing food to people who are sleeping rough. We were actually providing food to about 12 to 13 what we call community partners, so soup kitchens, food pantries, and other homelessness organizations such as Wesley Mission Victoria, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what often happens to pets who belong to people who are experiencing homelessness? I mean, is there a risk of them being taken away from people experiencing homelessness, or what sort of...
I don't think there's a risk of them being taken away because if the pet is actually yours and registered to you, they can't really take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact that when they have a pet with them, it's harder for them to get into accommodation, and also vet bills are not cheap.
This is true.
Yeah, and especially food as well. They need to eat every day. You need to eat every day. Mm-hmm. If you have to feed another living creature, I guess, you have to actually think about that as well, and it's additional cost to you, and people might not even have enough food for themselves to eat. So that's where we come in and we provide the food so that both the owner and the pet has enough food for the day.
It is really thoughtful, because, I mean, I've been walking down, like, Swanston Street and heard callous remarks like, how can that person be allowed to own that pet or that dog or the cat or whatnot. And like, the dogs don't seem to mind. I mean, as long as they're being fed or everything's fine. But I just, that sort of attitude is once again something we need to change. If it is your pet and it is your responsibility, then these people need to realise that, you know, they're doing all they can to keep it alive or keep it happy.
That's right. I don't think the animals actually care if they have a bed to sleep on or, you know, if you have a nice house for them, as long as you're with them and it's the companionship, that's what they really want.
As well, yeah, I was thinking, in regards to mental health, pets have been shown to lower stress and help provide really good mental health benefits to people. So if homelessness, I mean, imagine... I can imagine having a companion on the streets, someone you can trust and always be with, would be a huge benefit.
Yes, and someone that, you know, doesn't judge you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's someone who's always there when you need it. So, it's really good for companionship and also security as well. Yes. For a lot of women who are on the street, they actually have a pet, like especially a dog with them. It's because for security reasons as well. If they're sleeping, someone comes towards them, the... dog will alert them of, you know, any danger.
Of course. And I mean, like, and of course, that's one of the, like, hard facts we have to face, we have to sort of acknowledge, is that women on the streets are potentially more likely to be subjected to sexual assault.
Yes.
Which is really heartbreaking. But to know that having a pet as security as well as companionship is something I actually hadn't thought of before, so thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, it's okay. So how can people get involved with Pets for the Homeless?
So it's Pets Off the Homeless.
Pets for the Homeless, sorry.
I get confused a lot. Pets for the Homeless. I don't give up pets. I don't give up pets.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm saying
it's my mistake too. Yeah.
Jump on our Facebook page. It's called Pets of the Homeless Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We are called Pets of the Homeless Australia, but we're still based in Melbourne at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very active on Facebook, so you'll see updates on what we get up to every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we currently have a really fun way for you to be involved. We are running a fundraising auction online.
Oh, cool.
So you can get a bargain for yourself, and also all the 100% of the funds will go towards helping us expand our services as well.
Ooh, that's great. Cool. So a lot of other organisations are donating to you in regards to... the auction online.
Yes, all the items are mostly donated from really good... businesses out there, pet related items or body products, candles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so huge range of items for everyone.
If people want to donate, what's the best things that they can? If they can't afford to donate money,
food.
Yeah.
We always
what's
need
the
food.
Best type of food? For?
Any food, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be dry food.
Okay. It could be, you know, because there's different kind of pets out there. Mm. They prefer wet food or dry food, just anything, really.
This might be a silly question, but can openers? Things like that?
Most of the cans actually have those ring thingy on
it. It's been a while since I've owned a pet.
But I have given out food without the ring, and I would actually give them a can opener as well.
Makes sense. Little weird little items you don't think about until we moved house and we were like, oh shit, we don't own a can opener.
Yeah.
I know. It's the old days we used to use a crowbar.
Really?
Yeah, a small one.
Are you pulling my leg? You are. Yeah, I can tell by your smile. Yeah,
it's like a tent or a tent pole,
really?
And a hammer.
Just
Usually it blows up though, like the can and everything goes. You know,
that's just
messy.
Rough.
So I don't suggest you try that at home.
Okay. Right on. I did have one other question to ask, but I think it's escaped me. It's gone.
I'm sorry.
It's that's flown right. The coop. Oh well.
Again, where can people go, Yvonne?
Our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. It's Pets of the Homeless Australia.
Cool.
Oh, and you said that you're at the moment set up to sort of branch out to other states. Is there any whispers in the wind as to which state next, or just at the moment are you
Really, I want to actually establish it in Victoria first because it's very new, something that hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
So once it's really established in Victoria, then we'll bring it.
Is there anything similar overseas that you've come across or heard of?
Yes, there is. And there's actually a lot more, especially in America, not here. So my next step is I actually want to set up a pet food bank. So like food bank for humans.
That'd
food
be
bank
great.
For pets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Oh, I think that's a good idea. Okay, so Broadsters, if you are listening, jump online. I'll put it up on the Facebook page, I think. Pets of the Homeless Australia with Yvonne Hong. She's the woman that's driving this. How many volunteers have you got now?
No. There's a lot. Just don't have the numbers. Quite a few.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah. A few. Cool. Yes.
That's good.
So you can volunteer. If you say you can't afford it to donate, or you don't know what sort of food, but you want to get hands-on,
yep, definitely.
Can people just contact you?
Yes. We need people to drive around pick up food, mm-hmm. drop off food.
And you're contactable on that Facebook page for that.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you can't donate money, donate your time. We are always looking.
That's it.
And packing pet food.
Yes.
Packing it. Okay.
Packing it.
Cool. Well, I guess someone's got to do it. That's true. All right. You're listening to Broad. Don't forget, message us 0427JOY949. Here's a song. This is a feel-good song, I think.
Ish.
Yeah. What is it?
It is. I hope it's by Passenger, and it's called Keep Walking.
Keep on walking. Keep on going, people. Up next, we'll be talking to Donna. She's going to tackle the big one, busting some of the myths. Myth busting, I think. We need to myth bust what it means to be homeless and the experience of women and homelessness. This is Joy on 94.9.
Well, last night I couldn't sleep. I got up and started walking down to the end of my street and on into town. Well, I had no one to meet and I had no taste for talking. Seems I'm talking my whole life. It's time I listen now. Well, I walk past the late night boys with their bottles in their doorways. And I walk past the businessmen sleeping like babies in their cars. And I thought to myself, oh son, you may be lost in more ways than one, but I've a feeling that it's more fun exactly where you are. Like a stone carried on the river. Like a boat sailing on the sea. Well, I keep on till I find that old love, or that old love comes to find me. Well, I walked into the morning and felt the warm sunlight forming on my shoulders. 'Cause it hit me with no warning, like a summer sky storming in my lungs. Ain't it funny how the kids walk by, they do anything to make themselves look older, while the women spend their money on anything that makes them look young. Like a storm carried on the river. Till I find that old love, oh, that old love comes to find me. Oh, Lord, no. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, Lord. Oh, oh. Well, I'm like a storm. Find me.
till I find that old love, oh, that old love comes to find.
Hi, this is Lucy Lawless, otherwise known as Xena Warrior Princess, and I urge you to join Joy, because who doesn't need more of that? We're loud, we're proud, we're here. Radio Fon 2016. Joy Radio.
Lucy, we love her.
Oh, Lucy.
Excellent. This is Broad on Joy 94.9, and we've had some people join, which is fantastic. We've got Carl from Seaholme. He has become an upstanding individual. And also a donation of $30. Thank you so much, Carl of Seaholme. By the seaside, by the sea, I presume, hence the name, so thank you. And we've had another one from Mike in St Kilda. Thank you. He's donated $16 as well as in full membership. So that takes you through for a year, and that keeps us on air. So that rhymes. Thank you very much there, Mike. And we've had Angela in Coogee. Wow, New South Wales.
Whoa.
She hasn't made a donation, but she's definitely an individual who we love, and she's made a full membership. So thank you so much, Angela.
And from New South Wales.
Coogee, I know. People are listening.
Wow, that's nice. That's cool. Like, we only broadcast throughout the CBD, really, but we do have, you can
go
just via the internet. Yeah,
stream.
It is true.
It is streaming.
We are in the future now.
Speaking of the future, and right here, right now, we have, of course, this wonderful woman. She is the power of Melbourne Period Project. We have Donna Zen. Thank
Hello.
You for
Thank
coming
you.
In again.
Thank you for having me back again.
Yeah, well, we can't resist. You know so much, and you're so experienced, and you do a lot of great stuff. Tell us, of course, for those who don't know, what Melbourne Period Project is.
So Melbourne Period Project is an organisation that collects sanitary items for people experiencing homelessness. We do that by donation, and we repackage them into what we call period packs. So they have everything for menstrual management for people who don't have a home. If you don't have a home, you don't have a bathroom. So you need to be able to manage that in such a way that you, remain hygienic, you're using the right products, and also have correct disposal of those used products as well. So everything that is needed for that is in the packs that we provide. Mm. The Melbourne Period Project is also in Sydney and Brisbane. So we've got Sydney and Brisbane Period Project, and we've got our three hubs across Victoria as well, being Geelong, Gippsland and the Murray region too. We are also now making some little mini hubs in Brimbank Shire and the Melton Shire, so you'll see us out there soon as well.
Mini hubs, I like that.
We're taking it out of the city. Yeah, homelessness tends to be, services tend to be city centric, but we know the problem is everywhere, so we're starting to take that further out into the suburbs. And the Melbourne Period Project is one project under our charity, which is Melbourne Homeless Collective. So we do quite a few other things as well. Mm. So the biggest one at the moment that we've got running is Blanket Melbourne. So we're getting all the blankets and sleeping bags out there for the people experiencing homelessness. They're going out to the soup vans and places like Launch Housing. So places that aren't front door services where people, might show up but can't stay. So they can at least now leave with a sleeping bag, a blanket and a jacket, instead of being sort of turned away with nothing, which is sort of what was happening before.
Really?
So, we were talking before about the weather. I was running on Sunday morning. It was 1 degree. At 7 a.m. when I was running, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Running what?
Oh, running,
just
as
running.
In jogging. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You run as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
Yeah. keeps me sane. I try and run away, but they know where I go.
It's like the endorphins, makes you feel good.
It's my Prozac.
Whereas I just get up in the morning and have a hot chocolate, for my endorphin rush.
Not
healthy.
Two-shot coffee.
Yeah.
I think about running, and that kind of gives me I thought about it today. Good work, me.
So looking at the hard facts, because there are so many myths, and we want you tonight to help us deconstruct those, blow those away, the common sort of thing that people say. I think we chatted about it. Lauren mentioned it before. Oh, surely they choose to be like that. Surely there's something. How could they become homeless and that sort of thing? We're talking about people who experience homelessness. So,
People assume that there's always family and friends. I was at an event on Thursday night, and I was actually talking about what our organisation does, and there were so many people that said to me, how could they be homeless? I have family, I have friends, I have, there are people who I could go to. Why haven't they got those?
And there's many reasons for that. You know, if you take the case of someone, for instance, who's experiencing domestic violence or domestic abuse, they could have been and almost certainly were isolated long before the homelessness started. There is no one to turn to. Mm. Often their friends and family fear the partner who is violent, may have a criminal record. They don't want to get involved. They fear that there's retribution for them if they help the person. Some people, like myself, I have not one single relative in Victoria. My relatives are all around Australia. So lucky I've got some awesome friends, but there is no one, you know, if I ended up with no money and no friends, there's nowhere for me to go either. Mm. So mental health can strike anyone at any time. Acquired brain injury as well is another reason people often experience homelessness. You have an accident, fall off your bike. There are things that you just can't control. Mm. So sometimes people who have disability or a mental health issue might be a bit more difficult to live with. Mm. So they might go through quite a few share homes and eventually find that there just is no one else that will share a home with them. And, you know, that's not everyone, but that's what can happen. So
I can also imagine mental health like depression would stop people from reaching out to family members, because it's a sort of all-encompassing thing that makes you feel as though you are worthless and they will not help you. And once you've got that sort of mind frame due to that mental that health problem, that there's almost without the right support, which we don't have currently.
That's right. And they lose the ability to reach out. Even if they did feel that, I'm worthless, no one would help me, they actually lose the ability. A lot of people do lose the ability to actually reach out and ask for help. And that's, when they sort of hit rock bottom and then they can't go to work and they lose their job. Illness is another reason that people might end up homeless as well. So I do know of a case of a lady who was a social worker and, like me, no family in Victoria whatsoever. And she had cancer and, of course, with the chemo, couldn't keep up with her job, ended up not being able to pay her rent and was homeless and having chemo.
Oh my gosh.
And that sounds like a dramatic story, but it's a true story. So there are a myriad of reasons why. And a lot of people that you see, a lot of, say, women you see who might, be in their mid-20s, late 20s, they might have been on the street since they were 12. When the streets were safer than home. That's the horrific part of it. A lot of these people are children on the street because the abuse that's happening at home is so bad that they're forced to leave.
We're seeing a lot of queer kids as well.
Yes.
They're one of the biggest groups that will find themselves turfed out of their family home because it may be a religious reason or a reason that they don't want a queer child. So the kid is better off, even though that's awful, they could be better off away from that family.
That's right. And if the entire family is ingrained in that religion, there's no one to help them. So they end up on the streets. When you get young girls on the street, extremely vulnerable, especially those, who are really, really young, often end up taken under the wing by, some nice man who's going to look after her. And this is where,
I've come across that.
Drug start.
I've come across that on Flinders Street. There was a man there that was doing that.
Yeah.
He had a Bible, he had a bag of clothes, and he was going and I was watching him as he was targeting young homeless girls that were congregating by the stalls there, where you tap in and tap out. It was really scary.
It can be really
scary.
They're just completely vulnerable and at the mercy of whoever's going to look after them, and that's usually an unscrupulous person, sadly, if they don't get the help that they need.
While we're talking about this, because I'm sure people are listening and want to know where to go right now to help or do something, can you suggest an organisation now, a website?
So if you are in that situation yourself, as in, do you mean...
Yeah, if you know someone who might be a young kid, young queer kid who needs help, do we have any...
If the main areas that I sort of work with are people who are experiencing sort of domestic abuse and sort of fleeing from that, and the Safe Steps Family Violence Response Centre. So there's a 1-800 number that people can call, which is 1-800-015-188. You can also see them at safesteps.org.au as well. There are specific organisations for queer kids who are being, who have found themselves homeless. I just don't know them off the top of my head at the moment. Okay. For people who are needing crisis accommodation, there is another 1-800 number that they can call as well. So that's 1-800-825-955. And that's sort of that's the way we do things now. You call the number and the person on the other end, you have an interview. They take you through exactly, you know, well, you tell them the situation that you're currently in at the moment, and then they work out the best form of support for you. Sadly, it doesn't mean you're always going to get a room that night. It doesn't mean that you're always... We had a case a couple of weeks ago. We went out and picked up a lady who had found herself recently homeless at 11 o'clock at night. You can actually read about it on our page, our Melbourne Period Project page. Mm. It was a horrific story.
Yeah.
There was just... If we weren't there, she was sleeping on the street with nothing. She had no money to get into the city. She was in one of the outer suburbs. There was just nothing for her. And she didn't know of the number. You know, we sort of gave her the number and went. We sort of stayed with her while she called it. But it was 1 o'clock in the morning before we got her to a safe place. And then the next day we picked her up to take her to the appointments that they had organised for her. Because, again, she had no money. She jumps on a bus and has no Mikey, then she gets fined. And that's another thing that happens as well.
I had a similar situation where I had to get out of a domestic situation very quickly. I rang the police. The police came, put me in the car. They said, look, is there a friend nearby, and dropped me off, but they weren't home, so I slept in the garden until they got home. Yeah. There was no other option. They weren't going to take me to a cell. They refused to do that. There was nothing else.
That's it. It was really scary. And that's where there are some huge gaps. And I know with Safe Steps, they do provide taxi services for people who are leaving. You're often... the worst thing is that people are, you know, especially women, are taken away in a police car or an ambulance. But Safe Steps do have... I've spoken to one of the caseworkers there, and they do have a system where if a person does fear... but it's not a situation where the police need to be called because it's not a domestic. You know, you just know that something's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
You
have to get out. Then Safe Steps can actually help with that. So, one of the other myths, going back to the myths of homelessness, people assume that the majority of people are on the streets because of drugs and alcohol, and it's just not true. I think a total of 10% of people are actually experiencing homelessness because of drug and alcohol issues. The rest of it is unavailable housing, mental health issues, and disability, people with mild disabilities as well. And I think as well there's a myth that women are automatically given a room for the night or automatically given housing. They're not. There's wait lists everywhere. And Yvonne was just talking before about people with pets. Now, many of the crisis accommodation centres, you can't take your pet in. That's the only companion that they've got. So if they can't take their pet with them, they often choose not to go. And people who say
it might be dangerous for the pet to be left behind.
If it's domestic violence,
there's been cases I know of someone who that's what happened to them, and they killed their dog. It was awful.
And those who are currently sleeping rough as well, you can't get into the crisis accommodation centres, which is where you're going to get all of your access workers and that to actually help you get out of that situation. So the avenues that are there are working for some people, but not all people. I was speaking to an organisation this morning and really happy to find out that I think the state government is now paying for 13 crisis accommodation centres. Across Melbourne, where women and children will be able to go and stay for up to a couple of weeks so there's just more doors opening for them now.
Well, they had a lot of the crisis centres. Well, a lot of the funding was cut just this year. Just last year, was it? Pardon me. To see that it's finally making a reprisal, but I believe like a lot of them are now relying on the charity of other people as opposed to our government, which should be taking care of its own people.
That's right. So I was happy to hear that these centres are now opening and we'll be providing the period packs for them as well as a lot of the other, you know, blankets through Blanket Melbourne. So that was nice to hear that. But our job is sort of we look after the crisis accommodation centres. So we support people in all levels of homelessness. So those who are sleeping rough, those who are in crisis accommodation, and those who are couch surfing. So people with any form of unstable accommodation is who we support. So the organisations that we got in touch with this morning are another. So we work with Launch Housing and a few other places as well to look after the people while they're there, and also when they exit, and those that actually can't stay in there.
And what's the best way people can contact you to find out more of this. I look at your website and it's just so full of so many different links. And
It is. Because we run, so Melbourne Homeless Collective, if you looked at that, there's kind of nothing on it and people think, oh, 76 likes, it can't really be much of a thing, but that's our actual charity. We kind of don't do much off that page, but the Melbourne Period Project page, there's a lot there, but Blanket Melbourne, that's the biggest one for us at the moment. Now, we're asking people to go online, buy a sleeping bag, which, you know, through eBay or Kmart, wherever, and send it straight to us. And then we take it out to the people who are sleeping rough, but we also give it to, like, St. Vinny's soup vans, Edmund Rice food vans as well, Anonymous X through the Dropbox project. So we're managing through that one organisation to reach a lot of people and get these sleeping bags out to people sleeping rough.
So that's Blanket Melbourne.
Yeah, Blanket Melbourne. So we ran that last year. We got about 3,000 blankets in 8 weeks, so it was pretty huge. This year we've gone online because now we're running the Period Project too. We just don't have the capacity to do it
so
like we did last year.
So head to Facebook. We'll put that all up on the Broad Facebook page. And we had a message. Hi, Sonia and all. It's not widely known, this person has messaged in, but you're permitted to pick fruit from a tree if it's growing over the owner's property boundary onto council property, i.e. if it's over a footpath. I'd like to suggest starting a register of what is growing and where. A little suggestion, but maybe big results. Thank you, Andy. Andy Kay, thank you so much. That's a great,
fantastic suggestion.
Idea.
That's awesome. There is a few, if you have a look at Foodies Free, so if you have a look at Foodies Free Sunshine, and there's Foodies Free, there's a few other suburbs that do that. So they actually collect the fruit, the food, and they put it out.
Food is free or food is free?
Food is free. So food is free. And there's, I know there's Food is Free Sunshine and there's a couple of others as well. So if you put Food is Free into Facebook, you'll come up with those pages. And that's what people are doing, getting all the free food that they can find around.
Fantastic.
And putting it out for people who are experiencing homelessness to come and get.
Well, thank you, Donna. We are going to have to wrap it up. It's gone so fast.
Wow. Well, there's just so much to talk about and there's so much more to talk about. But so do we'll hit us up for any links. Yep, and you can always contact our wonderful guest tonight. Thank you so much, Amber.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me again.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you. And stay safe and warm and remember to help others. And we'll put all those links up on the page. We've also got Wire are doing the Wire annual appeal targeting women's homelessness. We've got Melbourne Period Project, Pets of the Homeless Australia, and, of course, the food. Oh, sorry, Amber.
Feel Good Food Packs.
Feel Good Food.
Feel Good Food. Up next is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you, everyone. Stay listening. Stay tuned abroad.
Hi, we're the Girl Freeders, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.